Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Chakravarti Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 4th canto, 13th chapter, 31 verse. Hare Krishna Chakravarti Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much for your valuable association, Prabhuji, and enlighten us on topic today. I now hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. So we will start reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 13, chapter entitled Description of the Descendants of Dhruva Maharaj, text number 32 onwards. So I'll just recite text 32, and because it has no purport, so we'll recite another text also, 33. Text 32. Tatha sadhyaya bhadram te atmanam suprajam ripa ishtaste putra kamasya putram dasyati yajnabhuk. Translation. O king, we wish all good fortune for you. You have no son, but if you pray at once to the Supreme Lord and ask for a son, and if you execute the sacrifice for that purpose, the enjoyer of the sacrifice, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will fulfill your desire. Text 33. Tatha svabhagadeyani grahisyanti divaukashah yajyajna purushah sakshat apatyaya harir vritaha. Translation. When Hari, the supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices, is invited to fulfill your desire for a son, all the demigods will come with him and take their shares in the sacrifice. Purport. Whenever a sacrifice is performed, it is meant for satisfying Lord Vishnu, the enjoyer of the fruits of all sacrifices. And when Lord Vishnu agrees to come to a sacrificial arena, all the demigods naturally follow their master, and their shares are offered in such sacrifices. The conclusion is that sacrifices performed are meant for Lord Vishnu, not for the demigods. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vitamsha Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashata Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaurutushe Namah. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So this wonderful narration of Dhruva Maharaj, which we completed in the last chapter. And then, now the descendants of Dhruva, and Vidura is asking to Maitri Muni, because Maitri Muni is describing about different descendants. So Vidura asks that, what happened that suddenly we see such a great dynasty of Dhruva and such a devoted person like King Anga? He had a son like Vena. How come such a demoniac son took birth in such a great dynasty? And why did King Anga left the house without informing anyone, becoming completely indifferent to the kingdom? And why did Brahmanas, they had to kill Vena? So then these few of the questions Vidura is asking. So it is very important to ask a question. If you see, the sages at Naimisharanya, they asked only 6 questions to Suta Goswami. And just to elaborate on those 6 questions, the entire Bhagavatam was spoken. If we ask one question, we will get not only the exact answer for that question, but also many more connected things and lot of knowledge. Whom to ask, that is important. And Krishna explains that, tad vidhi pranipatena pariprasnaya seva apadekshanti te jnanam jnanina tattva darshina. One should go to tattva darshi. Someone who is in parampara, someone who is tattva darshi, who knows, because without being in parampara, no one can be a tattva darshi. How will one receive the knowledge without coming in contact with another tattva darshi? And that is how parampara is formed. So here only he is asking mainly about Vena, but we see the entire pastimes of Prithu Maharaj will be unfolded. And so many wonderful teachings in this transcendental pastime of Prithu Maharaj will come to know. He didn't ask about Prithu, but that is how every question coming in Bhagavatam is connected to Lord Vishnu and his devotional service. So here he has started describing about King Anga and how King Anga is performing a sacrifice for the demigods. But none of the demigods are coming to receive the offerings. In the previous ages, even till Parikshit Maharaj, demigods will personally come when the sacrifice takes place and offerings are made. The demigods will personally come. Even Lord Vishnu will come. If a devotee is offering a sacrifice, Vishnu will come. Like Daksha, Lord Vishnu came. And when Yudhishthir Maharaj used to perform sacrifice, everyone used to come. All the demigods. Krishna was definitely there. All the demigods also used to come. But now here, we see that none of the demigods coming to take the offerings. It's a concern. Because if you are offering to demigod and they do not accept it, that means you will not get the desired result. Like sometimes you go to do transaction, either you do something on internet or go to an ATM machine. You know, it says invalid transaction or transaction failure. So here is King Anga trying to do a transaction with demigods through the agency of Brahmanas, but transaction is failing. So when the transaction fails, you try to figure out what happened. Where is the loophole or where is the problem? The Brahmanas tried a few times and they couldn't come to know the answer. Then they told King, and King was concerned. They said to King that, my dear Lord, even though we are perfectly offering the prayers and the items you have brought for sacrifice are collected with faith and they are pure. So demigods should come. The Brahmanas are pure, the offering of items are pure, the Yajman, the performer of the sacrifice, King Anga is no problem. Brahmanas and mantras are recited or chanted properly. Why demigods are not coming? Sometimes your transaction is failing again and again. You are trying to make the payment online and transaction fails again and again, again and again. You try to make everything is perfect. You know, my credit card number is perfect. The password is correct, everything. But then why this transaction is failing? So then King Anga asked, like you call customer care and find out why transaction is failing. They inform you that this is the problem. You don't have sufficient balance, so you cannot transact. So here, the head priest told King Anga that even though you are completely pure, not even in your mind, you have committed anything wrong. Even in the mind. Can you imagine if someone, if you tell like this in Kali Yuga, people not even believe that such a thing, such people would be living in this, on this planet, who would not even commit any sinful activity, even in the mind. Amazing. But then in last life, you have done something wrong. And because of that offense, you have no son. Now it is very important to have son for everyone, and we have discussed this in one of the class. And Arjuna is also saying in Bhagavad Gita, that pindadan or shraad, the duty of putra, is to deliver the ancestors. If there is no son in the family, then no pindadan, pindodaka luptaha. Pinda will be vanquished. No one will be there to offer the shraddha ceremony to the ancestors. And the ancestors have to suffer and glide down to the hellish planets. So son is very important. I know in this modern time it may appear a little gender biased, but that's what scriptures are saying. Someone who has no son, that means he has done something, some offenses in the previous life or this life. So definitely there is trouble. He will not be delivered. He has to suffer. And another thing, this is for the common man, another thing very important. Now if you ask anyone, they have no son, they will not talk about, even in India, they will not talk about Shraddha and all that, but they will talk about, oh, what about our dynasty? When someone becomes a brahmachari in ISKCON, they will ask, father will say, what about my dynasty? Who will continue? As if your dynasty is great like some Chandravanshi or Suryavanshi, who will continue this great dynasty? So there is another concern. Basically, who will continue my business? Now, a business of an ordinary man is not so important. It may be important for the family, but not important for everyone else. But the business of the king, especially the Samrat, who is the king of the planet, very important. And for every king, because who will be the next king? If there is no king, then what will happen? If there is no king, all the thieves and rogues, they will plunder the citizens. That's what happened when hunger was there, everything was in control. When hunger leaves, the thieves come. And then when King Vena is made king, all the thieves and rogues and plunderers, they, as if they become like invisible, because everyone knew, even the thieves knew that this King Vena is the biggest thief and the biggest plunderer and a rogue. He's such a demoniac person, because in the childhood he would play with kids of his own age, and then according to his own mind, if he does not like, he will throw them in the well, kill them as a child. And no one would say anything because he's son of the king. Can you imagine? There was no Supreme Court, no High Court. That was a kind of culture. People would accept. Anyway, that we'll see in future verses. So here, king needs a son to make sure the kingdom is in proper hands. So that is why it is important. That is why, if you see in Mahabharata also, for the kingdom, Hastinapur, for the throne, there was a problem. Bhishma didn't become the king, his two step-brothers, they died. Then Dhritarashtra and Pandu came, and Pandu left. Dhritarashtra was blind. Then there was a fight between Duryodhana and Yudhishthir. Then finally Yudhishthir left. Nobody was there. Parikshit was given charge. After that, Janmajaya took. And that's how it was a concern, because if there is no king, who will rule over the world? And if there is no controller, then everything will be very chaotic. So that is why again and again you read in Bhagavatam that how a king is very much concerned that he needs a son. It's not like the concern of the ordinary human being, but concern of the king as a father is for the entire world. And not only that, the king is concerned that he should get such a son that who will become a just king, justified or truthful, honest, compassionate king, who will take care of the people in the kingdom. That's why they were concerned. Now here, the Brahmanas are telling that you have no son. In today's verse, what we are reading, O king, we wish all good fortune to you. Tatha sadhya bhadram te. Let all good fortune come to you. Atmanam suprajam nipa. Ishtasya putra kamasya. With the desire of a son, what you do? Ishtas. You worship. Whom you worship? Putram dasyati yajna bhuk. You worship Yajna Bhuk, because he can give you Putra. Now, very important word, Yajna Bhuk. Now, see this, all the Brahmanas, they are performing sacrifice for the demigods. But they are very clear that demigods are demigods. None of the demigods is Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are very clear. For some reason they may be worshipping some demigod, king has told. But here the Brahmanas are not saying Vishnu or Krishna or Narayan or Ram. They are saying Yajna Book. That means even king knows who is the enjoyer of the sacrifice. The king also knows the enjoyer of the sacrifice is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is Krishna or Lord Vishnu. And Brahmanas also know. That's why they are telling, if you want a son, you don't have son in your karma. Because of the offense you have committed. That it's still you need, you want a son, you worship the enjoyer of the sacrifice. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. Again and again in Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita, it is said that I am the enjoyer. Krishna says, I am the enjoyer of all the sacrifices. Again and again it comes in the Bhagavatam. You don't have to mention that, you know, who's Bhoktaram. People knew. It's not like Kali Yuga. People don't know who's Vishnu, who's Krishna, and who's the enjoyer. The enjoyer is Krishna. Now you do not have son, but if you go and pray or execute a sacrifice, similar thing, then the enjoyer of the sacrifice, the Supreme Lord, he will fulfill your desires. So Brahmanas are giving him surety. Even though it is not in your karma, but if you pray, the Supreme Lord will give. Now that talks about another concept is that we cannot change our karma. Whatever is coming, is we have to accept whatever comes. But Krishna, who's beyond all this, he can do so. Demigods cannot do. Demigods can only give you what is there in your karma. Actually, how things work, already because of your previous life activity or this life activity, you have some positive, negative. And demigods, what they do, they just execute. Seeing your destiny, because they can see the future of ours, seeing the future, they can accordingly give. Not what you need, not what you require. They're not concerned about that. What is there in your destiny, they give. Good or bad, it is you to handle. But Krishna is not like that. And we'll read in the purports. After few purports, Prabhupada writes, Krishna is not like that. Krishna does not just give. Like if you send a small child goes to a sweet shop. he wants to buy some sweets. He has some money. So then he will ask for the sweet, and this person, the storekeeper, he will take the money. And he may give not very good quality. He may give the sweets on which even flies are sitting. A child will not know. But if the storekeeper is the father of the child, he will give him best of the sweet. Even though it may take maybe half an hour, he'll tell his child, wait for half an hour, I'm preparing this very tasty, very healthy, good quality sweet. Just sit here for half an hour and I'll give it to you. Or you go and play with your friends, come back in half an hour. He'll not give him anything. So demigods can just give you whatever is yours. It's yours. Anyways, they cannot give you even a molecule or an atom more than what you deserve as per your karma. They cannot give you more. They cannot give you less. They have to give you what is due to you. That is why it is said unintelligent or less intelligent people go to demigods. Whatever they give you is in your account already. But Krishna is not like that. Demigods themselves are controlled by the time factor or karma. But Krishna is beyond time, beyond karma, beyond everything. So then what he does, if you please him, if someone pleases Krishna, then what Krishna will do? Krishna can see the record, oh, record is very bad. His record is not so good. But still he is a good fellow. He is worshipping me, he is coming back to me, he knows philosophy, he is trying to practice Krishna consciousness. He may fulfill your desire, he may not. It may happen that he will fulfill your desire because you are thoroughly purified, like Dhruva was purified and he gave him the kingdom. It may be possible that because one is not purified, Krishna will not fulfill the desire, thinking that if I will fulfill this material desire of this fellow, he will run away or get into some negative zone of offenses or sinful activities. So he doesn't fulfill. To this Sudama florist, when Krishna goes from Vrindavan to Mathura, he meets this florist Sudama. And he is very happy because Sudama gives best of the garland to Krishna and Balaram and all his associates. So Krishna gives him benediction that Sudama, till the time you live in this material world, you will have all the sense gratification available. And when you leave the body, you will come back to me. Krishna gives such kind of benediction only to people who, you know, about whom Krishna knows that they will not get into any wrong zone. And sometimes, even if we are determined to ask again and again and again and again, or we are sincere, then Krishna will arrange such a thing or such an event that will purify our heart. Like Anga. Anga wanted a son. Anga was very generous, very liberal king. He would take care of everyone very nicely. But he was attached. He was attached. So then Krishna had to arrange a son like Vena. How is it possible that Anga performed sacrifice to Lord Vishnu and Lord Vishnu gave him the son who is such a demon? How can Vishnu give you a son which is demon? Especially in the house of a devotee. So Prabhupada explained, this is Krishna's plan. He wanted King Anga to become completely detached and come back to him. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. So if we are practicing Krishna consciousness, loving devotional service, then Krishna will arrange some incident in our life which will make us detach. But devotees, like you see this example of Ajamil got good amount of bashing. But then when he was given another opportunity, immediately left everything, went to Haridwar, practiced Krishna consciousness, in 5 years became pure devotee and went back to Godhead. He didn't blame Krishna. Mother Sita didn't blame Ram. Draupadi didn't blame Krishna. Devotees never blame Krishna. They know Krishna is arranging everything to purify them. Obviously, there is no need, nothing is required to purify Mother Sita, Draupadi, their eternal associate, but that's for our teaching. Mother Sita is purer than the purest. So we see, Krishna has arranged King Vena's birth in the house of Anga, and Anga got so much frustrated with Vena's activity that he could not kill him, he could not leave him, so he thought, better let me leave. Like Dhritarashtra, seeing the activity of Duryodhan, still didn't leave, rather supported Duryodhan and Shakuni and Karna. He didn't leave. Only then Krishna has to take everything. Everything was destroyed. And still he was attached. And Vidura came and gave heavy dose of lecture. You are like a dog. He's telling to his elder brother, who's a king. You are like a dog who is on the uchishta of Bhima, who killed your son. Bhima killed all your son. And he's throwing some food to you, and you're like a dog eating that food and still thinking that you're the king. And after that, one Bhagavatam class in the evening, it was evening class, Dhritarashtra became so detached, so much completely detached, that he left his house, immediately went toward the forest. He didn't even bother about his wife. His wife just followed like a shadow. So sometimes we face any inconvenience in our life. We should not think that I am practicing Krishna consciousness from 10 years, from 20 years, from 30 years. I am a born devotee, born to the family of devotees. Why is Krishna doing this to me? Krishna is arranging for your quick return to the spiritual world. So rather than blaming Krishna, we should accept it as a part of purification. Go with the flow, and Krishna will thoroughly purify, make us detach, so that we can leave all the things behind, because we didn't bring anything from the spiritual world. The soul didn't bring anything. Everything what we got here, mind, intelligence, false ego, and this entire body and all the bodily relationship, every facility is in the material world. So Krishna makes us so much detached that we leave everything and go back to God. But Krishna's mercy to punish us. And demigod will never do that. So that is why, O King, you go to Supreme Lord. He will do the best thing what is needed. Sometimes you go to Krishna, you go to the deities in the temple, and you don't know what to ask. Sometimes we feel, we tend to be satisfied, or rather complacent. We are materially okay, peaceful, somehow chanting in the, it looks okay. Everything, reading, hearing. When you feel you are okay in Krishna consciousness, that means actually you are not okay. When you feel you are not okay, then you are okay. Because if you think that, oh, now everything is going nice, chanting, morning, reading, hearing, everything is perfect. No, there's a problem then. Because then we'll not advance, we'll get stuck. So sometimes we don't know what to ask in front of deities. So everything I have. So then even if we understand or do not understand, we just pray to the deity and tell him or ask from him that, my dear Lord, whatever is good for me, kindly execute. And Krishna is all auspicious, and he will only bring auspiciousness in our life. Like the priest is telling, a brahmana is telling, tatha sadhaya bhadram te. Bhadram. Bhadra will come. Auspiciousness will come in our life if we come in touch with Krishna. So whatever is not due in our karma, positive or negative, Krishna can give that also. Krishna can give more suffering even if that is not there in your karma. Possible. Krishna can give you facilities which is not there in your karma. And then they say, when Hari, the supreme of all the supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices, is invited to fulfill your desire for a son, all demigods will come with him and take their shares. Once you call Vishnu, everyone has to come. Everyone is part and parcel of Vishnu. So they are just telling him to water the root of the tree and don't bother about the fruits and flowers and leaves and twigs and branches and sub-branches. Just water the root of the tree. So once you worship Vishnu or Krishna, every other personality, not even demigods, even demons, even every ordinary human being, all the species in the entire creation will be satisfied. You don't have to bother to satisfy others. Sometimes one may feel, oh, I am working and then I am practicing Krishna consciousness, but my boss is very, my boss is giving me a tough time. Even though I'm doing things correct, he still blames me. It's Krishna's plan, it's your karma and it's Krishna. For your benefit, these things are happening. That is why of all the qualities of a Vaishnava, of a sadhu, Lord Kapila, when Mother Devahuti is asking, who is a sadhu? How do I know who is a sadhu? The first quality he says is titikshwaha. Titikshwaha karunikaha. Tolerance is the first quality. What he tolerates? A devotee tolerates the miseries of this material world. A devotee tolerates insults. A devotee tolerates all the blemish on his character. A devotee tolerates all the happiness. He doesn't get affected by the happiness, the material happiness. He tolerates the insults. He tolerates everything. And because he tolerates, he fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Someone who cannot tolerate, then his mind will be disturbed most of the time because this is a material world. Material world means ups and downs. So always there will be ups and downs. When you get salary, you cannot tolerate. Then what will happen? You'll go with the flow of the money. And then, when the money is not there or other problems come, health related or anything else, then again the mind will be disturbed. So when mind is disturbed and not fixed up, then we cannot be fixed up in Krishna consciousness. To become fixed up in the Krishna consciousness and to become determined in Krishna consciousness, we should tolerate plus and minus, happiness and miseries equally. And if someone wants to understand more about this, please read this section again and again as many as times possible. Bhagavad Gita 2.54 to 2.72, Siddha Pragya Sakha Bhasha. These four questions Arjuna is asking about a Mahabhagat, or one who is not a Mahabhagat, or one who is Siddha Pragya, who's situated, who fixed up. It's a wonderful purpose. One of the most important verses in Bhagavad Gita are there, 2.54 to 2.72. And another thing which we can read again and again is Nectar of Instruction, especially first four verses. Again and again we should read. nectar of instruction, first four verses. The first six things, the vegas, urges to control. The another set of six things which destroy our bhakti. The another set of six things which makes us flourish in our bhakti. And another last set of six things which makes bhakti as a loving exchange with Krishna and with devotees. These 24 elements, very important. Just take a sheet, write all these 24 elements and mark 1 to 30, the dates, say for the month of April, all the 24 qualities and day 1, April 1, April 2, April 3 till April 30. And then see out of 24 elements what are going good on the 1st April or 2nd April or 3rd April or 4th April. There are 6 positives and 6 negatives. Whatever I'm not supposed to do, prajalpa I'm not supposed to do, whether I engage myself into prajalpa or not, then minus. If no prajalpa, then plus. If prajalpa, then minus. And see at the end of the day where you are going plus and minus. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, today is Ekadashi, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that all the sadhakas, every Ekadashi should examine themselves, should get into self-introspection mode, that how's my chanting going on, how's my reading going on, have I developed taste for reading, have I developed taste for chanting, have I developed taste for hearing, how is my behavior with other devotees, how's my behavior with material energy. And don't get discouraged. Try again next Ekadashi. Analysis is not to bring us to depression. Like all over the world, people do so much analysis and they become so guilty. Vaishnavas never feel guilty. They should not. They should. If any problem happens, then we can regret or what do you say that word? And then don't get discouraged, main idea is. This is the analysis, okay. I'm 60% good, 40% not good, okay. Let me work on another 40%, maintaining the 60%. That's why enthusiasm and determination and patience, all three are required. So we are diseased, 40% or 50% disease or 80% disease. And how to work on to reduce the percentage of disease? So that we should do. We should understand. And when we are not disturbed, like in this verse 34, he says, the performance of sacrifice, achievement, achieve the fulfillment of that which worship. This word kaman is here, kaman. And again this word comes in the purport also, Prabhupada says. Bhagavad Gita 2.55, Krishna speaks this word, prajahati yada kaman. Sarvan partha manogatan. Prajahati yada kaman. Prajahati. Leave all these desires, material desires. Kaman. Arjuna, leave all the material desires. Sarvan, all. Sarvan means all. Partha, Arjun, manogatan. Because these desires are taking birth from the mind. And mind is material. Mind is our enemy. So your enemy is giving birth to these desires. How can these desires be your friend? How is it possible the son of enemy is your friend? So this material desire is like son of your enemy. Because mind is enemy. How is it possible that the desire will be our friend? But we get stuck. In these desires. So then we should give. Give up these desires. Positive, negative. In 2.57, Krishna is telling that how a yogi doesn't get disturbed with positive, negative. In 56 and 57. Tukheshu anudvignamana. sukheshu vigata spriha. In dukkha, in the miseries, he doesn't become too much afflicted. And in sukha, sukheshu vigata spriha, he doesn't become too much happy. He doesn't feel too much happiness. He's as neutral as possible. We should try to come to that level gradually. And every detail is given in this 17, 18 verses, 2.54 to 2.72. Very interesting section of Bhagavad Gita. So sacrifice, and in this, even in 33rd verse, he's saying, when Hari, tathasva bhagaye bhagadeyani grahisanti divokashav, yad yagya purushah sakshat, when yagya purushah, the enjoyer of all sacrifice, when he will come, Hari, when he will come, then everything will become all right. So again they are saying yagya purush. In the previous verse they use the word yagya bhuk. The enjoyer of sacrifice means Vishnu, means Krishna. No one else. So that is what we should focus, and whatever we need, we go to Krishna, and whatever Krishna does in our life, we accept it. As mercy, as prasad. And if you are not able to accept the hardships or miseries in our life as a mercy, then we should become more sincere and serious about bhakti. And then gradually we'll come to the level where we'll accept it as mercy of Krishna. So this is how King Anga is. Now he will worship or perform sacrifice for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu, and he'll get the son. King Vena, Krishna has given him such a son which will make him very easily detach from this material world, and he leave the house and go back to forest. Go to forest and practice Krishna consciousness to become a devotee and go back to Godhead. So this is what is in these two verses. Any questions? So we can take.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranams, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for the very, very nice class, Prabhu. So I had a question. I'm just trying to see if I understood the concept properly. So you were mentioning about the worship of demigods, and you also mentioned that when you worship demigods, actually, what they can give you only what is there within your karma. And then when you worship Krishna, of course, Krishna can, if it's good for you, he's going to give it to you. And that's his power. So now when talking about demigods, now I'm just asking, like a case situation where supposing there is a person who's worshipping a demigod, and if it is not in his karma to get something, you mean that it is not in his karma, rather karma for this birth, that he has to get it, and hence he's not getting it anyways. But then what does it mean by praying to demigods for boons? Because a boon is something that you're going to get that is not in your karma, right? Like, I didn't understand that clearly. If you could help me with this.
So you are talking about the material boon which a person may ask from a demigod.
Mm-hmm.
Now, demigods can do some adjustment, and Krishna mm-hmm. has given that authority to demigods that if someone is worshipping you, you can give some limited material things. That's what is given in Bhagavad Gita 3.10.
Mm.
As telling Arjuna, I created demigods, I created human beings and the scriptures. So read the scriptures, worship the demigod, and they will become pleased and they will give all the material facilities by which you can be peacefully living in this material world and practicing Krishna consciousness. At the end, you come back to me.
Okay.
So even demigods are just becoming the tools in the hands of Krishna to bringing us back to Krishna. So they give us like rain, they give us fire, air, all these facilities they are giving us. And then you ask for something, definitely they have. They can little bit adjust with your karma. And the fact that you are practicing, you are performing some sacrifice to demigods, you are accumulating some punya karma. You're doing some good things. Like if you go to demigod, the pujari will tell you, okay, then now you, this Savan is coming. So worship Lord Shiva for 4 Mondays or 16 Mondays. Offer him water and milk to the Shivalinga. So offering water or milk with faith to Shivalinga is giving you pious activities, is increasing, enhancing your karma, material karma. And then you ask something for Lord Shiva, and he sees you sufficient, then he gives you. Not sufficient, doesn't give you. He gives you a little bit, whatever is done, depends on how much you practice. So by doing some yajna, you are doing some material pious activities.
Okay. And so the demigod.
But another thing, none of the demigod can give you permanent result.
That is the second part of the question as to what do we mean by permanent result. Does it mean that, you know, of course, they are not going to give us liberation? That is what it means as permanent? Or whatever they give is only, it's not going to really, the result itself is not permanent in the sense they can probably give you some temporary relief where you feel like, you know, you're feeling better, but actually you're not feeling better. What does that permanent word actually mean, Prabhu?
If any demigod will give you $10 billion,
okay,
how long you can enjoy with $10 billion?
Yeah, so that means, I mean, the result, because of our condition in the material world, is not permanent. But actually,
the demigod himself is not permanent.
How can he give
the result? When Hiranyakashipu was asking Brahma, then make me immortal, Brahma said, I am not immortal, how can I make you immortal? So they can give you all the benediction, but only for one life, or maybe a little bit for another life, but still in material world, everything is temporary.
Yeah, I get that. So basically that is what we mean by permanent.
Yes.
Okay. But the demigod is fully capable of giving you a boon.
Not fully capable. He becomes capable on Krishna's mercy.
By Krishna's mercy, okay.
Yeah. Because when we say fully capable, then people think, oh, he's fully capable independent of Krishna. No, that is the second holy name offense.
Correct. So that means he's not independent, but he's capable of giving you a boon by adjusting your karma. Is that correct?
Yes, little bit, here and there.
Okay. Okay.
That's
okay.
Very tough to please. Rather, it's simple to easier to please Krishna.
Okay. Yeah. So just wanted to check. So it has nothing to do with, you know, demigods can alter any kind of karma, be it prarabdha karma, sanchita karma.
No, not every time. They have their own limitations.
Okay. So
obviously people will go for prarabdha only. They will not go, because we do not know what is there in bijam, kutam, a prarabdha. We do not know anything.
Yeah.
What we are suffering is prarabdha, and we want to remove the suffering and increase our happiness. For that only we will go to demigod. We will not go to other things which we have not seen also.
Correct. So, but the demigods are capable of adjusting prarabdha.
Limitations are there. There are a lot many clauses and conditions applied and all that.
Okay, Prabhu,
once you become a devotee, you are in touch with Krishna. Even though if demigod is capable, Krishna may not allow it there to happen. it's possible. Krishna may want that, no, let him suffer a little bit. He'll come to me, then I'll give him what he wants.
Hmm.
Rupa Goswami says Krishna is a possessive lover.
Hmm.
It's not like Krishna does not like his devotees to go anywhere else.
Hmm. Yes, very nice. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thanks. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, I have one question. This is Shravanti from Los Angeles.
Yes, Mataji.
Every morning I hear we read the 10 offenses. I'm always convinced with all the 9 offenses that we read, but the second one, which we say to consider the names of demigods like Shiva or Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu, why are we calling it as an offense?
Why we are calling it an offense?
Yeah, all the 9 are related to Krishna, about chanting, about scriptures, about Vedas, which is very good. But the second one seems to be a little out of topic to me. But why are we calling it an offense?
You know, second holy name offense is only a problem with Indians. Because nowhere in the world people know about demigods. There are Americans in Europe, and they don't know about Krishna also, what they will know about demigods. The Prabhupada gave them Krishna, they accepted Krishna. But Indians have little more knowledge. A little more knowledge but not complete knowledge makes us dangerous. That's why this is given in Padma Purana. So the tendency to equate Krishna to Brahma and Shiva is there in the conditioned soul. So here it is mentioned that you do not even equate the name. The name Krishna and the name Brahma is not equal. Okay, they may not be equal, they may have different capacity, but they are not even that. The name Shiva and Brahma not equal to Krishna's name. Not only that, but they are not even independent, they are completely dependent on Krishna's name. Like Shiva and Brahma are dependent on Krishna and are below Krishna, similarly names of Shiva and Brahma are dependent on Krishna's name and below Krishna. To equate them with Krishna's holy name, their name with Krishna's holy name, is an offense.
Okay.
It's an offense to Lord Shiva also. Prabhupada says if you go to Lord Shiva and you call Lord Shiva Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shiva will be very deeply offended. It's like you're going to an ordinary person. Suppose there's a beggar on the street and you call him, listen, Mr. President. Then he'll be offended because you are being sarcastic. You are calling a beggar the president of the country. It's insult to the president, but it is also an insult to the beggar. Calling any demigod or Lord Shiva as Supreme Person of Godhead is insult to Krishna and also insult to that personality. So similarly with the names.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pradham, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Guru Dev Vijay. Thank you very much for the excellent class. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pradham. Do you have time for another question, Prabhuji?
Yes.
Okay, so Prabhuji, you were just saying that so Krishna decides that these are my devotees, so I don't want them to go to anyone else and beg for any other benediction. How does Krishna decide who is his devotee and who is not? Like we think, okay, yeah, I'm a devotee, I'm doing my rounds, I'm doing my puja, but is that it? No. How does Krishna decide who is his devotee, whom he wants to bless and whom he doesn't want to?
I'm just trying to understand the the purpose why this question is coming, is it that you want that Krishna should not consider me a devotee and I can easily go to other demigods?
No, I just need to understand
I understood your question. Yeah. So see, when Krishna says Mame Vamsha Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, Mame Vamsha Jiva Loke, every living entity is my part and parcel. Sanatana, from eternity, from eternal time, every living entity is my part and parcel. And every living entity is a pure devotee. You are a pure devotee. And everyone else is a pure devotee. There are conditionings on the soul. Soul is always pure. So Krishna considers every soul as his own, has his own part and parcel. Not consider, we are part and parcel of Krishna. It is a different degrees of conditionings. I may be more conditioned, you may be less conditioned. So you are an advanced devotee and I am a struggling sadhaka. But soul is pure. Soul is always pure. It is the covering which makes us impure. So then Krishna considers every one of us as his own, because we are his. So even if a non-devotee, you know, goes anywhere else, he doesn't like. But then he says, okay, at least rather than going to these dhongi babas, you go to demigods who are my authorized representatives. Rather than saying that God doesn't exist, a demigod doesn't exist, rather than going completely into drugs and intoxication, at least go to demigods. That means you are coming in the circle, in the purview of Vedic literatures, a Vedic culture, and you are going to my authorized representatives. So demigods are not wrong, they are authorized representatives of Krishna. They may not be pure devotees. Pure devotees like Prabhupada are also authorized representatives of Krishna. Narad Muni, Prabhupada, all of our acharyas. Demigods are also authorized. So someone who is going here and there, completely out of Vedic culture, at least let him come to Vedic culture. And then Krishna brings. But one who is already in touch with another authorized representative like Srila Prabhupada and chanting Hare Krishna, practicing bhakti, why he needs to go to lower authorized representative? He does not need to go, because he is already on the higher side. So Krishna definitely does not want anyone, but at least, okay, he has created the facility of many demigods. Okay, you go anywhere. At least come to, you know, my kingdom. Because all these demigods are eventually my servants and they are doing what I am telling. So even if you are connected to them, that's okay. I am pacified. Like a husband, he will not want, none of the husband in the world will want their wife to, if any wife wants a jewelry, she will not go to neighbor. It's an offense to husband. Wife is going and telling the neighbor that, can you please buy me a jewelry? No, that's an offense to her. She's a prostitute and an offense to husband. But she has a fight with husband. Okay, she goes to son, or she goes to, say, her own brother. Better than going to neighbors. But the best is, whatever she wants, she should go to husband, and whatever husband gives, she should be completely satisfied in that. So Krishna is our husband, and whatever we want, whether material or spiritual, we should go to Krishna. Even if you want material, go to Krishna. Read this section by Kardam Muni. Very beautiful. That's why in Bhagavatam this verse comes. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udharati. You have desires? For sense gratification, come to Krishna. Kardamuni went to Krishna. He wanted to get married. He should have easily worshipped Lord Shiva or Parvati for a girl. But he did practice. He practiced penance and austerity for 10,000 years to Lord Vishnu. And when Lord Vishnu came, he said, I want a suitable girl to get married. So material or spiritual, we should go to Krishna, period. Only people who think that Krishna is not capable, they'll go here and there. One who is not faith. Even if someone wants, you know, all obnoxious, sinful desires to be fulfilled, still one should go to Krishna. Krishna will purify him. How? That Krishna knows. We should not go anywhere else. Even if we are abominable in our consciousness, we are demoniac in our consciousness, if we just stick to this principle that we will just go to Krishna without disrespecting other living entities, and especially demigods, because they are representative of Krishna, we should not discourage, we should not disrespect them. But we are surrendered. For a wife, there will be husband, there will be husband, brother, younger brother, elder brother, there will be father-in-law, there will be other family, but everyone is related to husband. A wife should only surrender to husband, but should be respectful to others also. She should not be disrespectful to others. The devotee should not be disrespectful to anyone else. But he should surrender to Krishna. And even if we are having very demoniac propensities, Krishna will gradually work out a plan for us. Seated as a Paramatma in our heart, he will work out a plan. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes. Yes, Prabhuji. So the question was because, okay, so now Hiranyakashipu, we are just talking about that in our kids' class. So they all ask for benedictions from Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. And so they grant them benedictions. Well, why aren't they? So they know for sure that Krishna is the Supreme, because they were much more powerful than us. So they know already the truth. So, but then still, why did they ask Lord Brahma? Why didn't a lot of those people go to Lord Krishna directly and ask him?
Because they don't know, they don't have faith. They don't have knowledge that Krishna is Supreme. If you see many people, especially in India, they do not consider Krishna as Supreme Lord. They consider, okay, Krishna is one of them, Ganesha is their one. One is Varuna, one is Chandra, one is Surya, one is Shani, one is Indra, one is Brahma, one is Shiva. They consider everyone as equal. And their faith, Krishna is telling, it's your faith which will take you there. First of all, they don't have knowledge. Another thing, they don't have faith. If someone is born in a family where all the ancestors are worshipping from last 400 years, Lord Ganesha, then it's very difficult for that person to install faith in Krishna as Supreme Person of Godhead. Because if you read the mantras in the glorification of Ganesha, it talks that he is the Supreme. It's confusing. There's no clarity. Clarity is there, but people are confused. They don't have knowledge. And because of lack of knowledge, they don't have proper understanding and they don't have faith that Krishna is Supreme, so they don't go to Krishna. Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill Vishnu. How can he go to Vishnu? Even if he knew that Vishnu is Supreme, he has to kill Vishnu. How can he go to Vishnu? So then they think that Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh are equal. So they don't have understanding, they don't have knowledge. Many people, like if you ask many people, why you are going to, you know, why you are taking intoxication? We'll give you prasad, we'll give you process of chanting, that will give you so much bliss. Why this, you know, low class, so-called happiness in intoxication? Because he does not have knowledge about Harinam, he does not have knowledge about Krishna Prasad, he does not have knowledge about association of devotees. And apart from that, even if you tell him, he may or may not develop that faith. So some people who develop faith, Adho Shraddha, they get Sadhu Sangha. People who do not develop faith, they do not get Sadhu Sangha. And they just keep rotting in the material world till the time some devotee gives them some mercy. That clear?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
So we'll stop.
Hare Krishna.
Here.
Oh.
Okay, last.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Yeah, just to follow up on this last question about, you know, when Krishna will intervene in a person's life, personally, you know, Mataji had asked, you know, who does Krishna consider devotee, right? And so my question is similar in that, you know,
when will Krishna intervene in anyone's life and when he will not intervene?
Yes.
Okay. So it gives Srila Rupa Goswami Nectar of Devotion says, for even a Kanishtha Adhikari, Krishna intervenes. Kanishtha Adhikari means one who has started worshipping Krishna, then Krishna actually looks towards that person. One who is not even considering Krishna as supreme and is not having any faith and is not worshipping, Krishna is like one of the six opulences. There is renunciation, Krishna is completely renounced. Only when the living entity, the conditioned soul, specially turned towards this bhakti mark, Krishna is personally interested.
And to whatever minimal degree that is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so a person who is worshipping demigods, even though demigods represent Krishna, a person who is only worshipping demigods, Krishna is not going to personally intervene in their lives.
No, because there are two reasons. No, he will not intervene. Because there are two reasons. One, demigods are representative of Krishna, that Krishna knows, and the demigod knows. But the worship of our Ganesha, they think that Ganesha is Supreme Lord. Their understanding is not proper, so Krishna, why will he intervene? And another thing, even if someone understands that Krishna is Supreme, but I am more attached to Ganesha, then Krishna says, okay, you be connected to Lord Ganesha and I will increase your faith in Ganesha. That's okay. So you go to the planet next life where Ganesha is, and then practice bhakti and then come.
Okay. Yeah, I need to fine-tune my question a little bit. When you said a person who turns to the bhakti mark, right? But there's, especially in the beginning, there's different gradations of turning toward the bhakti mark. For example, a person, let's say a very new person, he comes and hears lectures in the temple, you know? And maybe he's even attracted to the lectures and he keeps coming. Is that considered turning toward, I think that's the question. What does Krishna consider turning to the bhakti mark? Since there are so many different levels.
When Krishna, through his bona fide representative like Prabhupada or other devotees, by causeless mercy, when Prabhupada, he will shower his causeless mercy on any living entity and that living entity accepts that mercy, that is who will turn towards Krishna and Krishna will pay attention to him. So one who has started this process, Adho Shraddha, from here, he has some Shraddha. Either he has practiced Krishna consciousness previous birth, at this birth he has forgot, but then he comes in touch with devotees. See, one who has, it's like if I have practiced Krishna consciousness last life, say 30%, and in this life I am not given birth in devotee's family, I do not know anything about Krishna and I forgot everything. But because I have practiced in previous life, Krishna will monitor that where is this soul, because he has already practiced, and Krishna will arrange that soul, like me, to be in, somehow come in touch with devotees. So Krishna is giving some, Krishna intervening in a way. But one who has not even started bhakti, it is like 0%, 0.0%.
Yeah.
That living entity, when a pure devotee or a devotee will shower his causeless mercy, then it is. Like suppose all of you in a community go for Harinam Sankirtan, and so many people walking on the street, and you know 1 hour Harinam and Sankirtan is going on, and you're distributing some prasad, some books. So you see some faithful people will come to you, and they will accept the process. Those are who will turn towards Krishna or towards Bhakti Maharg.
Yeah, so accepting the process. So a person who has expresses some interest, but let's say they have not yet decided that they're going to chant Hare Krishna, right? They're showing some interest, but they have not made that decision that I'm going to start chanting Hare Krishna. Where does he stand?
If you go out and you're just sitting alone in the park and chanting your rounds in the morning, and there's one young girl, she's curious that what is she doing? There is some cloth and her hand is inside the cloth. What is she trying to do? She's looking blissful. She becomes curious.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that curiosity, she comes to you and she asks some questions, and then you are very enthusiastic to give answers. And then you take her contact number or address, and then this girl takes your contact and she just goes. And now she is not visible in the park anymore. What will you do?
If I was the one chanting?
Yeah, you were chanting and this girl is curious and she came to you, she asked, she inquired some questions, you gave some answers and you took her contact number and she is not there next day morning. What will you do?
Well, I would hope that somehow or other she gets association again.
So how will you... Okay, one thing is you hope. That means you.
I mean, if I have her contact information, maybe I would contact her.
Yeah, it's very simple. That's what I said. She gave her contact number to you. Now you will contact her. You will follow up on her, and you will try to make her a devotee. Because Krishna is intervening through you in her life now. That's Krishna's intervention. That is how you intervene. That's how Krishna intervenes. Krishna will inspire you. No, you go and follow up on the girl. She will become a devotee. So you try. She may not become a devotee, but you try. You try. So that's how Krishna keeps trying.
Okay.
Krishna do.
So Krishna intervenes. Once a person shows any minimal interest in Krishna consciousness, Krishna is now personally in that person's life.
Yes, it is how things work. Krishna is a person, like we are persons. So if we want, if someone comes to us and we want that person to become devotee, this is how even Krishna wants.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay. So thank you everyone. And
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the beautiful class and very nice question answer session, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for clearing all the doubts, Prabhu. Even I had it. It was clearing by your question answer session, Prabhuji. Thank you so much once again. I would like to offer obeisances to Prabhuji and all the devotees. Vancha kalpa taro bhyasya kripa sindhu bhyayevacha patitana pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama ananta koti vaishnav vrindiki jai namacharya shila ridasa purki jai shila prabhupada ki jai. He is Krishna yeah. Chakravarti Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji.